Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a wascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Time to awaken. Mark, Mark, wake up, Mark.
Greetings, citizens of Earth, and welcome to this last day of July, July 31st, 2015. Of course, we had a full moon early this morning at 7 degrees Aquarius. Lots of intense energy out there, obviously. I'm not going to dilly-dally too long today. We have a fantastic guest lined up for you. William Stickivers, a financial astrologer, will be joining us in about 2 minutes here. I'm just going to real quickly run down what's going on astrologically. We have a Venus retrograde from last week. This is entering back into the late degrees of Leo. This Sunday, Saturn stations direct at 1:53 in the morning. So as of right now, we have Venus, Uranus, Saturn, Neptune, and Pluto all retrograde. And then Monday at 6:37 in the morning, these are all Eastern Standard Times, we have a Jupiter-Saturn square. And then on August 4th, we have a Venus-Jupiter conjunction at the late degrees of Leo. And then shortly after that, on August 8th, Mars leaves Cancer and enters Leo. And on August 11th, Jupiter enters the ever-fun sign of Virgo for a year. And next week, my guest will be astrologer and numerologist Sherita Starr. And then I will be appearing on her show Monday, August 10th, and I will put a link to that show as we get nearer. And that will be from 7 to 9 p.m., I will be on her show. Don't forget tonight at midnight, we have Mudtoe at midnight, and then Monday we have the Iggy Garcia and Friends Holistic Forum, and then we'll have Lunchtime Wisdom next Tuesday at noon. Without too much ado, as you know, the economy is doing some crazy things, and so I've brought in someone much more intelligent than myself to try and explain these things and explain what's going on. So our guest today is William Stickivers. He is well-versed in psychological, horary, electional, astrocartography, which is a very fascinating study, which we will we'll do a show on that sometime. Medieval and Renaissance branches of astrology, and worked with Alfie Lavoie of the Astrological Institute of Research. He has lectured for the National Council for Geocosmic Research in New York City, Long Island, New Jersey, and San Francisco. Member of the American Federation of Astrologers in Los Angeles, the Astrological Society of Connecticut, and in Europe, Munich, Germany, and Bucharest, Romania, and Japan, Tokyo, Osaka, and Yokohama. He's a practicing astrologer since 1990, mostly in New York City. William now resides in San Francisco. In addition to astrology and cutting-edge technologies, William earned a B.S. in musical performance, clarinet, from Temple University in 1989, and a CCRS diploma in computer science from Hofstra University in 1996. He has a thriving computer consulting business and musically has performed internationally and has been a finalist in several international music competitions. He continues to perform in New York City and the San Francisco Bay Area. William's consulting clients include investors, business owners, entrepreneurs, professional astrologers, psychics, professional performing artists, fashion designers, and doctors. He enjoys working with clients who are committed to personal growth and spiritual development. He is an active member of the National Council for Geocosmic Research, also known as NCGR, Society of Astrologers, and International Society for Astrological Research. So, good day, William.
Good day, Mark. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, that's a pretty impressive resume.
Well, thank you.
You don't have a lot of free time, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, we appreciate you spending an hour or so with us today to kind of explain some of these things that I've explained poorly in the past.
Well, it's a really complex and difficult subject, and most people get lost after the first 10 seconds because the complexity of the economy, the complexity of geopolitics, goes beyond the eighth grade civics lessons and classes that was taught to us in school. And most people are very uninformed or uneducated about how markets work, and markets are the basis by means which all wealth creation and wealth destruction occur. And it ties very much into the political complex of the United States, as we'll talk about shortly when we discuss the archetypal Pluto in the horoscope that's now constellating powerfully in the U.S. Horoscope, regardless what horoscope an astrologer uses. So, you know, it's just something that loses people very quickly, and people, you know, want to just turn on the mainstream media news and get you know, to get quick, instant relief that all is well, steady as she goes, the world is, you know, the world is more of the same that as it was 10 years ago, which it's not.
Right. As my sister says, sometimes a little bit of information is a lot more dangerous than no information.
Well, I think that's true to an extent, but right now there is a lot of dangerous things going on that are in play, and it has very much to do with your money, my money, and everyone else's money, all right? And that has very much to do with what's been going on, certainly since 2010 onward, where we've ever had an escalating and intensifying series of geopolitical and global financial events that are now in the process of forcing a major power struggle between nations and a power struggle among the rich and poor, and invoking social distress and class warfare in many of the G7 nations.
Yeah, agreed. So one of the things that's been in the news recently was the whole Greece fiasco, where, from my understanding, and you, I'm sure you know a lot more about this than me, but it was kind of an attempted forced takeover by the International Monetary Fund to try and bully Greece into accepting a bailout that was essentially going to keep them prisoners to the EU. Am I in the ballpark there?
Yes, absolutely. Here's the real problem with what's going on and what many people are overlooking, including many of the astrologers who are commenting on this. The bigger problem that Europe now faces ultimately is that the Greek debt has to be forgiven, else Greece will not survive. That is a fact. The IMF, even the IMF wants to forgive the Greek debt, but Germany is not prepared to do so. Why? Because if Germany forgives the Greek debt, that means that the other indebted nations, such as Spain, Italy, Portugal, Cyprus, Malta, etc., will all have to be written off, all right, and for the larger loans that they can't afford to pay as well. In fact, they owe a lot more money than Greece does, and they're unable to make those payments to Germany and the Eurozone. So regardless, Greece needs debt forgiveness. Otherwise, they can't survive, period. And if there is, if there's debt forgiveness, then you have a massive problem in the European banking system, because the European banks won't survive if you give the Greeks debt forgiveness. Why? Because the European banks and the European Central Bank have major outstanding lines out of credit to Greece. And the European Central Bank is now bankrupt, just as Greece is bankrupt. And the Greek debt is worth zero. And the same is true for Italy's debt, Spain's debt, and Portugal's debt. Also, if there was forgiveness granted to Greece and the other European countries, that, all right, so if there was debt forgiveness, the European countries that have lent to Greece may not survive, all right? So, plus, you know, so you have to keep in mind that if they provide debt relief to Greece, Spain, Portugal, and Italy will want the same debt forgiveness for themselves, else they will default. However, if Greece defaults, right, then all these other countries that have invested in the Greek debt will default. It's a catch-22. And this is what...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically I just want to sum it up here. So keep in mind, this is what keeps the EU oligarchical elite and Angela Merkel awake at night, is not the cries of despair from the Greek pensioners, nor the penniless Cypriots, or the hunger-starving Portuguese, nor the politically explosive number of unemployed Spanish workers and impoverished Italian households. It's the rise of the Eurosceptic, because Europeans realize what's really going on here now. And basically the only solution for Europe is a political union.
Solution. I saw from the videos and information I saw, I mean, the Greek people, the majority that I saw seemed to be in favor of just, you know, letting it collapse and getting out of the EU and not getting themselves out from under the thumb of the EU. But the political entities involved there did not seem to mirror what the citizenship wanted.
Exactly. So, you know, it comes down to Germany can't provide the Greek people the debt forgiveness that they need. The IMF actually agrees that they need debt forgiveness, right? But also realizes that is once you provide to one, you have to provide to the rest. However, if they let Greece fail, all that debt, all right, all the leverage debt, and let me explain this. So all debt is encapsulated by governments in the bonds, right? And right. If those bonds, if that debt or that bond debt goes to zero, all the leverage, all the derivatives, right, connected to that debt, all right, gets set off by credit default swaps. So there is $330 billion of debt that Greece owes. However, there is $24 trillion of derivatives that would be set off immediately if that debt, all right, if there is a debt default by Greece, a total debt default, that will implode the entire European continent into a deflationary depression, which would be greater in intensity than what was experienced in the 30s. Also, it would most likely impact the U.S. banking system and the global banking system.
Yes.
And by the way, there has been no resolution, as you've noticed. It's pretend and extend, pretend and extend. And this all goes back to what we're talking about, Pluto, all right? This is all Pluto at play here.
Right, yeah, I found that very funny because it was, you know, on the front page for over a week of the newspapers. And then it just kind of disappeared, and I was like, I don't really remember there being a decision or settlement reached. And it just kind of, vanished.
Because they can't provide a settlement. The settlement would be to provide Greece debt relief along with the other European nations. However, they can't provide that because there isn't enough money to provide that because the European Central Bank is broke, and the political blowback in Germany would ignite a social revolution. So, this is a big problem, and this is going to explode, and it's going to explode much sooner than anyone realizes.
Agreed. And when you, a minute ago, you had mentioned debt swapping, and that should be very familiar phrase for people here in the U.S. That was a lot of what created our 2008 blow up here, and it appears that we are on the same track again, if I am correct.
Absolutely. Right now, what many astrologers are overlooking is the fact that Pluto has been very active over the U.S. natal chart from late 2012 and will be active making direct hits all the way through early 2017 if you use a conservative 5-degree orb, applying and separating. And let's talk a little bit about what Pluto does on a mundane level. I think many astrologers know or have an idea what it does on a personal level. But Pluto in mundane astrology deals with the power of the masses, the totalitarian compulsive collective pressures, forces of elimination and regeneration and resurgence. Pluto relates to the emerging nations and nations in a state of reconstruction after some type of breakdown or war. It also, Pluto relates very much to fanaticism, to an obsession with impersonal collective ideas and ideals. Pluto also represents the periodic need to purge the body politic of old deep-rooted problems that often result in social upheavals, class warfare, and power struggles. Constellated by a populist leader, it can awaken compulsive instincts for power and dominance. Pluto rules secret covert organizations such as the CIA, the NSA, and all known and unknown agencies of the deep state. It rules military black projects, government black projects, and what has been termed by the alternative media as the shadow government. It rules gambling, racketeering, the criminal underworld, organized crime such as the American Mafia. It also rules the underworld of the banking elite. It rules derivatives. It rules debt. It rules debt on a massive scale, which is often formulated into bonds or bond purchasing. It also rules political grassroots movements that initiate massive reform, sweeping change at a national level. Pluto also rules nuclear power, along with the nation's nuclear arsenal and other weapon systems of mass destruction. Pluto also rules plutonium, radium, zinc, tungsten, nickel, and Pluto rules natural and man-made disasters such as volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, large-scale destructive wars, and any event that incurs any type of economic recession or depression.
Right, yeah, I totally agree. As people who attend my classes probably get bored of hearing, I always correlate Pluto with death, rebirth, transformation. So whatever mundane chart or whatever events we're looking to Pluto and for Pluto at, you're going to see massive transformation on some level. My favorite example of this, I don't want to say favorite, sounds bad. One of the best examples of this is the 9/11 chart, where we had Pluto at 14 Sagittarius, I believe, opposed to Saturn, which was at 14 Gemini on the morning of 9/11. And so Saturn and Gemini is the twins, and Saturn is structures. So you literally had Pluto, death, transformation, opposed Saturn, which was the twin towers, the twin structures. So that's how literally this can play out sometimes.
Right. And also at that time, mind you, Pluto, transiting Pluto, was conjunct the was pretty much close to the U.S. ascendant at that moment. Am I not correct?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. In fact, let me just check that. I just want to confirm that. I can confirm that right now. Let me just drag and drop Pluto right over the U.S. ascendant. Yep. Right there. It was Pluto was sitting all over, right about 12, 13 degrees of Sagittarius during the 9/11 event. So that's a very good example. And that also correlated with the turbulence in the stock market, because at that time, the stock market in the spring of 2000 and into 2001 pretty much peaked. And then went through a correction.
Yes, yes. Because I know, I mean, what was interesting was and some areas had already downturned at that point. Because I remember the place I was working at the time had been around for like 30 years and had never had a layoff. And they actually had a big layoff like 10 days before 9/11. So some sectors were kind of already feeling what was coming in the other sectors at that point.
Right. Well, I'd like to talk about what I'm seeing here, because I think the astrological community needs to catch up with the reality on the ground. And it is showing in very powerful ways, both using very sophisticated mundane cyclic techniques, all right? And mainly, just for everyone to know out there, I'm really a mundane astrologer who looks at financial cycles and sees the correlation between the unfoldment of planetary cycles and how they correlate with financial and secular cycles. So I'm not a day trader trying to beat the market using astrology. That's what most financial astrologers term themselves. I'm someone who advises clients on how to preserve their wealth and what would be the best long-term or short-term asset allocation to ensure maximized return on their investments, all right, rather than trying to beat the market at doing any type of risky speculation or trading. So I just want to make that clear.
Excellent.
What I like to emphasize here, and you know, and you don't need to use all the sophisticated software that's employed by many mundane and financial astrologers, is the fact that you're going to see Pluto oppose the natal sun on the second house cusp of the U.S. chart if you use Sibley, And at the same time, transiting Saturn will be sitting right on the ascendant. And that all begins to occur exactly late December, early January. So late December of 2015, early January. And as most of us know, astrology is the astrological cycles and mundane portents are generally leading indicators. So often events occur before the crisis that make it clear to those who are
observing.
Connected to these cycles, observing, yes, that's the right word, observant to these cycles, that a crisis of international significance is in the making. And I believe we will have the first shot across the bow, as they say, certainly by late September, early October of this year. By then, it will be undeniable, even to the mainstream media, all right, without suffering a major credibility issue, that we are in a crisis or moving into a crisis greater than 2008. That's my prediction.
Okay, and to back that up, you're absolutely correct with Pluto correlating with the Earth change events and financial events and stuff. So just something to, for those of you listening out there, something to mark on your calendars is Pluto makes its next station on Friday, September 25th, and that will be at 2:55 in the morning Eastern Standard Time. So I would say the couple days perhaps leading up to that maybe is a time we may want to pay attention to.
And let's not. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh no! I was done. That was my only point there.
Okay, great. So let's not forget too that Uranus is squaring Neptune is squaring Uranus at that time. All right, so we're looking at Saturn conjunct the ascendant, Pluto opposing the Sun, Neptune squaring Uranus, and we have Uranus making an opposition to Saturn, and the natal Saturn of the U.S. We also have transiting Pluto squaring the natal Saturn of the U.S. And Saturn occupies the 10th house of the nation's leadership. Okay, so
yeah.
those are very powerful auguries, testimonies that we are going to undergo a major shakeup. And if you project forward, now we don't have time to go into this, but if you take these transits and look at the fact that they are occurring during the time that the mundane cyclic index is making its precipitous downward plunge, right, that started in May of 2014 and will bottom in March 2022, that augurs that we are heading into a perilous period where much of the damage control enforced during the 2007 to 2009 financial crisis by the central banks and the government will begin to come off and unravel. And I believe we can expect powerful shocks to occur to the system, resulting in drastic changes in financial positions for the United States, along with titanic geopolitical power plays that will begin to accelerate. We'll also see massive market volatility. We're also already seeing that now with China, right? Major market corrections, bank panics, and often unexpected and sudden large-scale economic failures occurring worldwide, not just in the United States, not just with U.S. city pension funds, U.S. state pension funds, not just with the bond markets, not just with the real estate, but we're going to see whole nation sovereign debt implosion, all the sovereign debt Look at what's happening now in Puerto Rico. Look what's happening now in Europe. Look what's happening now in China. Look what's happening now with Russia, all right? Look what's happening now with commodity prices are basically nosediving. Look at what's happening now with the trade index, which is diving. All indications that we are going through a contraction period, all right? And you can expect during these times, all right, we're going to hear a lot of excessive rationalization by the mainstream media and the financial news media, and unprecedented proclamations by governments and the leaders, especially in the United States, all right, that all is well to prevent the loss of credibility with the general populace. But I'm going to tell you right now, all right, with other than the diminishing demographics of partisan political voters, most Americans are going to realize we are in a crisis, and it's time to rethink, all right, what we've been doing as a nation for the past 7 years.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, I mean, because we really should have had a collapse financially a couple years ago, but as long as, you know, what the powers that be, or whatever you want to call them, you know, have an open access to the bank, they're going to keep artificially propping this up as long as the... I mean, if you had the key to the vault, you wouldn't be in any hurry to let the bank crash. I mean, as long as you're able to keep funneling stuff into your...
Basically what they're doing, exactly, that's true, because what they're doing is they're printing money, keeping interest rates artificially low. They're forcing banks to buy bonds. So when the U.S. doesn't collect enough money from its taxes, the Federal Reserve will then issue bonds and then provide liquidity to banks to buy those bonds. And then they can keep interest rates artificially low. And then what ends up happening, too, is they provide liquidity to financial institutions directly to invest into the stock market, giving the perception, the applied perception management, we should say, that all is well and the economy is thriving. I think we can say there is a complete disconnect from June 2009 to present between what's happening on Wall Street and what's happening on Main Street, and that is the biggest gripe I have with a lot of financial astrologers today. They don't make that connection, all right? And, you know, I think we could all say we may not know what's going to cause the downswing when it comes this fall, which has already really begun in Asia, but we can state with certainty that when the big event hits, all right, there aren't going to be enough lifeboats on the U.S. There's not going to be enough lifeboats to go around for everyone. There ain't going to be no bailout, all right? There is not going to be what we saw, all these emergency measures and capital inflows to keep defunct and insolvent financial institutions afloat. That won't be there anymore. So I really think that we are, we're like, the world economy is like an ocean liner with lifeboats, all right? And when the next big iceberg hits, or should one hit, all right, we're not going to have enough lifeboats for everybody, all right? Because right now we have a staggering $200 trillion of debt globally and almost three times the size of the global economy. So the world economy is like an ocean liner without a lifeboat. And if another recession hits, and it's going to be a depression, folks, not a recession, but they'll never call it that, all right, it will be truly a titanic struggle for governments, for policymakers, for everyone.
Right, because when they come out and say, you know, a run on the banks or recession or depression or something, that panics people and puts them on guard, and you know, they would rather just have things kind of collectively go as it is without too much hubbub about it while they still have access to our funds, which we may not have access to in the future.
Right. Correct. So, you know, this thing, you know, like, look, the mundane cycloplanetary index, which many mundane astrologers use based on the work of André Barbeau, makes it clear that we have entered a period of pain, change, and crisis as we witness radical events of collapsing global currencies, contracting national economies, along with the breakdown and collapse of unsustainable, obsolete, and untenable systems of finance and banking. And any astrologer who doesn't believe in that should take a hard look at the fact that Pluto is sitting right now on the second house cusp, whether you use Placidus, Regiomontanus, Porphyry. If you're using the Sibley chart, all right, and you believe in the Sibley chart, there's no way you can tell me or anyone else out there who does their work that the economy has been in a recovery since June of 2009.
I 100% agree. I mean, all the numbers that they put out on jobless rates and stuff, I just don't buy anything. I don't buy any numbers the government puts out. I mean, from my reality, what I see within my own family and with people I know is that everyone has downsized so significantly, or you know, drastically change their style of living, that's the only way really a lot of people have been able to survive, or, you know, people having two part-time jobs or something to try and keep themselves afloat while cutting back costs as much as they have. So these jobless unemployment rates they put out are just completely bogus, because just a lot of people have run out of their unemployment or just so downscaled their life that they're not an accurate reflection of what's going on.
That's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. We had 96 million people looking for work that fell off the radar, that cannot get work. Out of the 214 million people living in the United States, that at least we have on, that's on the radar. I mean, that's what we can account for. Only 154 million people are employed. Of that 154 million, 23%, it's actually maybe a little higher than that, but around 23% are underemployed, meaning they were making six-figure salaries or $58,000 or greater in 2007 and now making half that money, working part-time but looking for full-time work, okay? And when they say there's 5% unemployment, that means the people who file for unemployment, all right, that number has to do with the people receiving an unemployment check based on the people present in the workforce. That has nothing to do with the total number of people working. We have the lowest job participation rate, all right, since 1981. It's down 63%.
Oh,
all right, this
amazing.
This is just absolutely stunning. It's more stunning when I have major astrologers who pontificate from their podiums at these astrological conferences about the promise of America, the promise of the economy, the promise of being an astrologer, you know, doing all of that, as if the economy, as if this is 1999, all right, and, you know, we are in a boom market and everything is fine and happy days are here again. It completely boggles my mind why a majority of the astrological community folks are buying into this. When the American families, you know, where we have over 20% of American families' income scale now earns less money than they did, all right, prior to 2007. That's a startling number. Over 20%. It's actually close to 30%.
Yeah, I mean, I can verify that from, you know, personal experience. When I look at 2007, you know, like all five members of my family had full-time work. At this point, none of the five of us have a full-time, you know, one job working for, you know, one company. It's like there's just, you have to take something very under your pay level or, you know, just to try and survive. And I know a lot of people I'm seeing now, how do I say this nice? The more aware people that I know, how about that? The more aware people I know are seeing that maybe one of the better ways to do with this is to have multiple income streams instead of being tied to a singular corporate entity, to where you are much easier for you to be victimized by companies going out of business or being bought and sold. Or so that's one of the things that I've seen that people are doing to try and counter this on some level.
And you want to know the reason for all of this?
Absolutely.
Because people say, well, because the banks have injected money into the system. In fact, the Federal Reserve has basically gone to all these financial institutions, brokerage firms, companies, taken off the debt and injected money back into their buffers, all right? And basically told them, go out and spend that money. Most of those institutions don't spend that money. They hold on to that money. Now, why is that important? That's important because any healthy economy has money that is flowing throughout it. It's called the velocity of money. The velocity of money is the rate at which dollars move from one person to the next through the economy, okay? What we've seen since 2007 is a massive drop of the velocity of money. And the velocity of money is a very important indicator. The velocity of money as of today, ladies and gentlemen, for those listening here, for those skeptical astrologers who still believe in a recovery, is lower than during the height of the Great Depression. The height of the Great Depression. All right?
Wow.
That you can look up those statistics. Those statistics are everywhere. You can look up the graphs. So that in itself tells you all the injection of liquidity into the system did not translate to any capital formation, all right? Any true, real capital formation in the growth of businesses, jobs. Basically, what we have going on is complicit financial fraud at both Wall Street and in Washington. And this is really what Pluto's all about, folks. This goes all the way back to what we initially started talking about, Pluto. All right? Fascism, the merger of private, all right, and corporate state operating as one functional unit, all right, for the benefit of both private parties, and that basically is an oligarchy. What America is really truly run by is an advanced oligarchy that operates at the deepest levels of the national security complex and the fractional reserve lending system, which we call the Federal Reserve, which is not federal nor a reserve, but essentially a private banking cartel whose members, all right, whose stock owners and members are secret. That is the reality that all of us, most of us, refuse to acknowledge.
Agreed. As my favorite quote on that I heard was, "The Federal Reserve is as federal as Federal Express is. It's a private corporation." And you know, I was trying to think back about who I voted for Federal Reserve Chairman last time, and I remembered, we don't get to vote on it. Those are the scary ones you have to watch. These people who get appointed and you have no say whatsoever on the job these people do. I mean, you at least, you know, to me, I consider the office of president to be similar to, you know, America's top model. You know, it's just kind of a figurehead. The for, you know, to be pretty out there in front of the public. I mean, what's the people that concern me are these people who show up over and over again as the head of these large banks and financial institutions and as members of different presidents' cabinets, regardless of what party they are. So I think those are where the real, I don't want to say the real power structures, but higher up on the power totem than the people that we sort of kind of not really get to vote for.
Exactly. So what you're basically saying is we have an oligarchy.
Yes.
We have a private elite group who have power, have access to power at all levels of government and industry and capital finance that work congruently for a policy that we are not aware of and certainly does not seem to support America's middle class or long-term American interests, but rather long-term transnational interests.
Totally agreed.
Yeah, and so what I am seeing is this is just not about money or finances. This has to do with the fact that the nation is on the verge of revolution, true revolution. All right, where we are going to see a major upheaval with the body politic. I believe all bets are off after this fall with the 2016 election. All right, all bets are off. Everyone who says, yeah, it's going to be Jeb, it's going to be Hillary, it's going to be Trump, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, nobody knows, because when these certain events start to play themselves out in the forthcoming months and weeks ahead, I can assure you that a lot of the mechanisms of politics and the presidential TV reality show that's been played out on us since World War II will no longer work. I believe we are seeing the early phase or the nascent phase of a populist movement, which will result in some populist leadership that will awaken the compulsive grassroots instincts throughout the nation state. And I believe we are going to see a power struggle. And there is going to be, we're going to see something play out that we haven't seen played out since the Civil War. So we're going to see a combination of a lot of things all really starting to happen. And, I believe we're, between Uranus and Pluto, still active. By the way, Uranus-Pluto has not gone away. The Uranus-Pluto is still within range of orb to each other, indicating that we will see and have seen since 2010 an escalation and acceleration of political grassroots movements that initiate and invoke massive sweeping reforms in nations and in political structures and in finance, all right? And also at that time, we are going to see possibly a near collapse of the United States, all right? I'm not the only one who's been saying this. There are a lot of European and especially Russian analysts, very bright Russian analysts, who actually come here in America and speak in a very intelligent way that explain we are in the first and second phase of the five stages of empire collapse. In fact, many of them were actually writing this way in the mid-80s when they were working for the Soviet government. Let me make it clear that Gorbachev was well aware of the fact that the Soviet Union was in the second or third phase of collapse when he took power. He was well aware of that. The CIA was well aware of that. These same people who worked for the intelligence agencies now work for many think tanks in America since the collapse of the Soviet Union and are now saying we've gone from the first into the second phase of collapse. first you have financial collapse, then you begin to have political collapse, then you have commercial collapse, followed by social collapse, and then it's another collapse I don't remember offhand. But we are definitely, the first stage was what happened in 2007 to 2009, now is seeing a major breakdown in the partisan political system. For the first time, folks, we have more people that are registered independent or do not affiliate with either party who are registered voters than we have Democrats or Republicans. And at the trend it's going, it will surpass the combined level of Democrat and Republican voters by 2020.
Yeah, and some of this stuff may sound scary to people, but this is going to sound wrong, but to me, I'm all for things collapsing. I think the system is so corrupt and so, I mean, like beyond fixing at this point, that I think these things need to collapse. And I just want to run through, just real quick, I had an interesting subject that came up at my monthly class a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about like the upcoming election. And what's interesting is transiting Saturn will be opposed to the Mars in the U.S. chart, which is the Mars in the U.S. chart is at 21 Gemini. So we kind of went every 2.5 years, Saturn takes 28 years to go through the zodiac. Every 2.5 years, Saturn is going to square where it was previously. And so every 7 years, Saturn will square where it was, be square to where it was 7 years previously. And we kind of looked back at the U.S. chart and to where Saturn had made these previous squares every 7 years. And so next year, Saturn will be square to the U.S. Mars. We have the presidential election. We went back 7 years from that, and we had the economic collapse and the TARP bailout. Then we went back to 2001, we had 9/11. Then we went back to 1994, we had Oklahoma City, where literally thousands of new laws were passed. And then before that, 1987, we had the previous financial collapse.
Well, those are very good insights, yes. And we have on 12/12/2016, Saturn opposed Mars, which really correlates very closely to what we're seeing here as Pluto opposes the U.S. Sun right on the second house cusp. Also, Saturn will still not be too far away from the first house or the ascendant, which is very telling in itself. I'm totally with you. I believe we're going to see some major, major shifts in the body politic that's very closely correlated to the unwinding geopolitical and macro global economic events that are now the seismic movements that are now the rumblings of those seismic movements that are now in play.
Yes, I agree. We have there's big stuff coming up in the future, and an encouraging thing that I see is a lot of people are waking up. I'm starting to see a lot of people are starting to figure out that the two-party system is just one party disguised as two, and they're finally starting to see this, and that, you know, we're just feeding the beast by allowing the one party disguised as two to keep running rampant as it has been. Some of these charts that we're talking about, William has posted on his Facebook page, and I've shared it on mine. And I've also got his website up in the chat room and on my Facebook page as well. So be sure and visit those. And he's got some YouTube videos out there too. So lots of great information he has out there. So what kind of advice do you give to clients that come to you? What can people do during this time? How can they just in general kind of safeguard themselves or make this less painful, or what kind of stuff do you recommend?
Well, I really, really believe what people need to do is deal with a few factors that are very uncomfortable, and that has to do with dealing with the possibility of a financial dislocation occurring between now and a major financial dislocation where you go to your bank or your ATM machine, you swipe your card, no transaction takes place. I believe there's a possibility for that. They certainly closed the banks in March of 1933, right, where they confiscated gold and closed the banks for 4 days. A lot of people lost that. That was a form of a bail-in, right?
Yeah.
That happened. So they did close the banks, and they did, to avoid a bank panic, they will do that again, most likely, should we see the banks going into receivership due to a economic bond apocalypse, which is certainly in play now. Just being prepared for that, getting really informed. The more informed you are, the more you're likely to take action. Start talking about it with people. I mean, I think the day of, like, let's not talk about this or that among friends and family has to come to an end, all right? We need to be
great.
A little bit more. And as the astrological community, we need to start talking about it too, because I have so many astrologers that keep saying, well, you know, the Jupiter transit and this and that, it's all gonna be fine. You know, it's not all going to be fine. The other thing, too, is it's not so much for me or for you. I mean, for a lot of people, we are still in our working years. But for people who are like aging baby boomers who have retired or are retired or retiring, I suggest that wealth preservation needs to be the foremost concern of theirs, not they should not assume that their pension is going to be there. They should take whatever matters into their own hands to secure and preserve their wealth. Because the next thing I see going is the pensions. All right, I think I might write an article called "It's the Pension Stupid," because all the pensions are connected to the bond funds, and these bonds are worth zero now, or they're worth pennies on the dollars. And many of the baby boomers, including the baby boomer astrologers, still believe they are going to get that big fat $1.1 or $2.1 million pension, and that the millennials and Generation X will continue paying into those systems that are essentially insolvent to begin with or have become insolvent since the 2007 crisis. All right? And they continue to be deluded by the fact that this will continue. In fact, many of the baby boomers are unaware that the latest statement in Social Security states by the year 2030 or 2029, you will only receive, as of today, 77% of what the projected number is. So they'll say, okay, by 2030, you'll get X amount, all right, per month. However, you can only expect 77% of that, all right, number. It's an asterisk at the bottom of the Social Security statement, all right? This is the first time this just came out, all right?
Yeah.
And this is actually, this should be major, major news. So, all right? I advise people, do not assume that what Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush tell you is what is the solution to anything. They are both paid off by Wall Street. They are both puppets to an advanced American oligarchy that's deeply embedded into the transnational security state, all right, that serves another agenda, all right? So I tell these people, they get upset, some choose to believe me and take action, others walk away and think I'm totally crazy, despite the compelling evidence, despite the graphs, all right? Most of my clients come around the second time and they say, okay, I'm ready to hear what you have to say. How do I buy gold? How do I buy silver? How do I preserve my wealth? How do I make sure if we have a dislocation occurs, how long will it likely be? What can I do? All right. What websites can I go to? How can I get more informed? How can I take action in my local community and start speaking up and presenting this information, at least getting other people on board, blah, blah, blah. So that's what people can do. That's what I advise people to do. And to really follow up with action, just not listen to this show, say these guys are crazy, I'm going to go back and vote Hillary Clinton and know it's all going to work out. I really think you need to really rethink. You should, you know, I'm asking people to take action. Try and prove us wrong. Try and see if the astrology is not there. Try and prove that the secular data is not there, that the financial data is not there, that the historical data is not there, all right? Just for an example, folks, for those skeptical astrologers listening to us, every Uranus-Pluto alignment, which was using a 10-degree or 10-degree orb, there's always been a bank panic. There's always been a recession or a depression, however way you want to define it. There's always been a massive recapitulation in political power. So this has gone on perfectly since 1790, since the inception of the nation's government. Right? So these are things I try and stress with people. I talk about it. I try and weave it into the reading, even if they come to me and want to know how they can get their millionaire boyfriend back together with them. You know,
right.
Whatever it is, I try and wake them up. There's a lot more going on right now than your narcissistic immediate gratification needs.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's very interesting. One thing that I see a lot of times in the astrological community, too, is like, we just had the last of the 7 Uranus-Pluto squares. So we get through that, and then I think people expect that, oh, okay, that energy's done. Well, it's not done. Sometimes there are things going on in the background, which we said Pluto rules conspiracies and secrets and hidden agendas. So there's a potential that big things happened at that point. They just have not hit the mainstream of, our consciousness, our collective consciousness. So some of these things may not have been found out yet. And as we go through, you know, we're getting ready to start a Saturn-Neptune square cycle, and we're going to have Jupiter in Capricorn a couple years down the road, and that's going to be forming squares to the Uranus Pluto conjunction, squares to Uranus and conjunctions to Pluto. So some of the stuff that has happened maybe has just not hit the light of day yet.
Well, here's the thing: we have Uranus Pluto. If you use the 10-degree orb, it went into effect in February 2007, when the Chinese markets dropped 461 points, and we saw the collapse of Bear Stearns, one of the largest banking institutions in the world, shortly thereafter, that basically set off the 2007 to 2009 Great Recession, which we have not recovered from. We've had escalating geopolitical breakdown, escalating global financial contraction, and monetary intervention by central banks to prop up the system. And that, using that orb, we will not be done with Uranus-Pluto until 2020. During that time, you're going to have the Jupiter-Saturn square that will come up, right? And that Jupiter-Saturn cycle is not something that's coming up, I believe, this August. It begins and will be using a 5-degree orb, it's already in effect and will be in effect well into 2018. And basically, the Jupiter-Saturn cycle has much to do with the establishment. It has very much to do with the creation and development of capital and industry, heavy capital investment in infrastructure for the purpose of expansion and development of the broader economy. However, when it's square, what will be exposed is the fact that there has been virtually no capital, the development of no capital in industry, or no capital formation from the massive amount of quantitative easing and the so-called expansion of Wall Street hasn't resulted in the expansion and development of the broader economy in Main Street. And then we'll have the Saturn-Neptune cycle, and then we begin the Saturn-Pluto cycle, which actually begins in late 2016. So all these cycles are converging in their effect. That's the point.
Yeah, and actually we have an exact Jupiter-Saturn square this Monday morning at Jupiter at 28 Leo and Saturn at 28 Scorpio. So that'll be one of the first exact squares in this cycle. And it's something you've mentioned a couple times. I forgot to chime in there. We kind of talked about how they've been feeding money into the banks and they've been kind of holding on to it. I mean, this was kind of like how when they expanded the fractional reserve lending, which allowed banks to, you know, originally loan 5% of what they actually, or one the same amount of what they had in hand, and then they boosted it to 10% of what they had in hand. Now, I think it's probably unlimited, but instead of floating out debts now, it's like they're holding on to that extra amount that's being floated to them instead of lending it out to keep the economy flowing.
That's correct.
Okay.
You know, I think the bottom line is that people have to just wake up and realize that what's happening in Greece is going to happen to America. It will not happen immediately. But between now and the next 5 years, we can see an economic collapse. Right now, Greece is in the midst of a total collapse. Retail sales plunged 70%. Doctors have fled the country. People are now bartering. This is not mainstream news. This is something nobody wants to talk about.
Right.
Not at all. I mean, you know, folks, you don't need to wait until the stock market crashes before we can say, oh, when is the collapse? It's already begun. The collapse has already begun.
Right, and this is not to scare people. This is to help people be prepared so that you already have things in place and things going in the right direction when this does happen. It's just kind of a wake-up call.
Yes. So I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the bottom line is that we're going to see a major, major reconfiguration, psycho-spiritual death rebirth, and major reconfiguration of the United States. The end of the United States 2.0, all right, and the beginning of the United States 3.0 in the following decade. So we're actually going through more of the death and the first early stages of transformation, all right, and not so much in the rebirth yet. That will happen more in the early 2020s from my long-range perspective. And I believe the death of the two-party system, an implosion of the fractional reserve lending system, an implosion, certainly we're going to see a class revolt. We're going to see a middle-class revolt. We're going to see not Occupy Wall Street, but rather Occupy All Street. That's coming. That's something Jeb Bush nor Hillary Clinton wants to talk about. It's more about the election of 2016. Unless we get a really dynamic leader, right, like I mentioned earlier with Pluto, you can see a very powerful a very powerful grassroots leader emerged. That has happened. You know, we saw that happen in the 30s with Hitler. But unless we get a really powerful grassroots leader, populist leader emerge, we're likely going to hear an election that says, don't ask, and we don't tell. The don't ask, don't tell presidential reality TV show, which is or campaign. That's really what we're going to have, folks. And if you want to participate in that, you are basically setting up this country to self-destruct at a much faster level. We can have a transformation, or we can have a crisis and death. It's really up to you at this point. You don't have to believe in what I say, but if you look at what's really going on out there, by continuing to pull the lever, by continuing to play into living in debt, to continue to believe in that this is still 1999, or the old days are going to come back at some point, all right, whether it's Jeb or Hillary, whatever, if that's the only solution you're looking for as you just try to barely make it through the mud, this, in a way, is your passive decision to allow the country to implode economically, politically, socially, all right, and spiritually. It's up to you. The choice is up to you.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's what I try to tell people is, you know, when you see a big energy coming down the road, a Uranus station or a Pluto transit or whatnot, I mean, you can sit in the corner and be afraid, or you can throw something into the middle of the road that you want blown up. So we can use this energy, this transformative, destructive energy, to our benefit to change the things that are wrong with our country and our financial system. Okay.
I totally agree with you.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Is there any, I know I told you I'd only keep you about an hour here. Is there any last messages or anything else you want to share with people?
Well, I'm just letting people know, if they go to my blog or my website, I have a lot of articles on this. I present the data, both secular and astrological. I use a lot of graphs. I keep it short and sweet, because I know it can get boring, and I know most people's attention span is no more than 30 seconds per blog post.
Right.
You know, I make my points. I'll be writing more. I'm coming up with another article on the upcoming Shemitah, the prophecy of the Shemitah, and how that correlates historically with the death, destruction, and rebirth of economies. And how that correlates within the modern astrological context. Also, you know, I try and get people to think about things that most people are not thinking about, especially within the astrological community. And I make it very clear to the leadership of the astrological community, I am not intimidated by their continued passive marginalization of what is happening. I have seen this as a big trend. I have no problem stating this to the leadership. I actually know most of these people, and they know me on a first-name basis. And I'm making it very clear out there that it's okay if you want to keep saying it's all okay, all right? But you're going to also hear from me, and I'm not the only one. There are other astrologers out there, other people, other forecasters, all right, using all different systems that are basically coming to a very powerful counterpoint of saying it's not okay, we are in a crisis, all right, and the continued level of denial is now going to present a really big credibility issue within the larger astrological community, all right, that keeps pontificating, it's steady as she goes, it's all okay, all right, it's the only thing to really be concerned about is just global warming, all right? I mean, if they say, yeah, William, you're right. You're right, William, but it's really about global warming. That's really what you need to be worried about, not any of these other things. That is not true, all right? I'm not playing down the ecological collapse. I'm not playing down the fact I've written many articles on Fukushima and the growing radiological crisis that Obama doesn't want to tell you about, all right? I have definitely presented that data, but the astrological community, by large, folks listening, trust me, they are marginalizing this. They don't want you to go to a conference and discuss any of this stuff, all right? And this is what needs to be discussed because this is our moment. We are one of the few people in this, we're one of the few people out there that can define what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, if we stay asleep during this period, we will miss our opportunity. I mean, for the, I'm giving a lecture at the Universal Life Expo in September called Generation X, Time to Awaken. And, you know, in the next, those of us born in the mid-60s, well, throughout the 60s, but especially in that 65 to 67 time period, I mean, we're going to have unprecedented power at our disposal that 99% of the people that have ever lived are not going to, will never experience. I mean, we've got that Uranus-Pluto conjunction in our chart. We're going to get an exact trine from transiting Pluto and Capricorn and a conjunction from Neptune and the North Node. And we're going to get this the middle part of next year. I mean, that is a powerful, powerful alignment. And the Generation Xers has been known as the slackers, but you know, we're just late bloomers. And so if we miss this opportunity where we have this incredible power at our disposal, we will not have that opportunity again. So time to awaken.
I totally agree. I totally agree. I'm really happy to hear you doing that presentation because Generation X is certainly not talked about enough, underreported. You see the baby boomer astrologers continue to pontificate their contributions to the culture. They keep talking about the promise of the millennials. The Generation X totally gets overlooked. And Generation X, folks, is coming to power. I believe the next president will be a full Generation X. I don't believe Obama is a true Generation X president. And I'm not just talking about presidents, I'm talking about leaders. We will see, Mark is right, we will see the shift into Generation X in a dramatic way over the next 3 to 4 years, but it certainly begins next year, no doubt about it, where they come to power, and it's going to be a major game changer, a whole different paradigm shift, a whole different perspective, a whole different way of leadership. All right, and we're going to see that effect at every different level, the civic level, municipal, federal level. We're going to see it in government, in finance, in industry. We're going to see it in the way global politics occurs. And we're also, I believe that Generation X is going to be very aware of the oligarchy, very aware of transnational interests, very aware of the deep state, and I believe that this new leadership will confront them the way Teddy Roosevelt confronted the robber barons and all those capitals of industry who were behind the railroads and the steel industrialists and the major bankers, where he took them on and he broke up their trust, right? So, and developed all that powerful antitrust legislation and really changed the country, made it into made this country into the world's greatest superpower in the history of the world. So I believe that is all possible, and I still believe we can still be maintain and become an even greater superpower, but in a way that transforms the world, that makes it a better place, that transitions us from a type 0.7 to a type 1 civilization, all right? Where we can introduce AI and alternative methods of manufacturing and cleaner ways of production and growth. We can be the leaders again, but we cannot do it with this current group of leadership, this current paradigm, this 1999 worldview that the current leadership within the communities in every sector, all right, are now still in charge and running and calling the shots. We are paying the price at every level. It's now time, and I believe, for the Generation X's to come to power and show what they got. It's going to be their turn to come up and bat, and I am betting heavy that they're going to hit some home runs over the coming decade.
I agree totally. This is a huge opportunity for, and two, a section of the Generation Xers are also having their Chiron return. What a better time to heal the earth and heal the economy and heal our country than having your Chiron return along with these Jupiter North Node Pluto transits. I mean, the energy is in our, is the wind is to our back. It's time for us to wake up, and this goes against what I've always preached, but maybe have a little less patience with things right now.
Right. Well, I'm in total alignment with you, and I really think I want to thank you for having me on the show. I have to get going now. I have to actually go back to my my avocation.
Okay.
I have to go to work, actually. So, but I want to thank you again, and hopefully we can talk in the future about the election, go deeper into that, and talk a little
Absolutely.
Bit deeper about some of the other things that are active in the U.S. Chart, and certainly what's happening in the world.
Absolutely. I know your time is very valuable. I appreciate you taking some time to spend some time with us and going over some of these very important details that people may have missed. And so I hope you have a great day at work, and we would love to have you back on in the future.
Thank you very much, Vaughn. I appreciate
okay.
it. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. There you go. Straightforward. That's the deal. William Stickivers, our guest there. I have his website in the chat room and on my Facebook page. You can find him at williamstickivers.com. That's STICKEVERS. And at williamstickivers.wordpress.com. And he also has some YouTube videos up there. So we want to thank him for all of the great information out there. And if we went a little fast on some of the stuff, the show will be up for archive listen in a couple hours. So if you want to understand what's going on with the economy, or you want to be able to tell people about some of the info he shared, you can just go and download the show or re-listen at your convenience. So we have lots of energy shifting. Jupiter Saturn square this Monday morning, this coming Monday morning. Have an Aquarius moon right now. Moon goes into Pisces Saturday evening through Monday morning, through Monday afternoon. So I want to thank everyone for listening. Next week, we will have a great guest, Sherita Starr. She does a mix of astrology, numerology, and wordplay with people's names. And she's been seen on Good Morning America and some other big shows. So we will look forward to having her on next Friday. And, of course, Monday we will have the show with Iggy and David and whoever else joins in at 6 o'clock on Monday.
Mark, time to return to the ship.
Okay, so everyone, enjoy your weekend. And we will talk to you soon.
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.